fighting for America.
Our two priorities for this year are to increase the compensation for teachers. In Wyoming, for instance, beginning teachers make $43,269,000.
Fighting for Idaho.
We have a number of things in place to help keep parents informed. Through our Facebook page, we can post things. We've got a Sky Alert. We've got an instant messenger to keep parents informed of what's actually going on.
Fighting for you.
So when you get all the other stuff out of the way, all the politics and all that, our desire is to prepare kids for what we think is a bright future.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award.
Good morning!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning at 580 KIDO. Thank you very much to our friends at CapEd for promoting our school, securing our future. Our great friends at Chick-fil-A as well. We've got some wonderful T-shirts for the students here at BSU. We're joined by two, Camille Eddy and John Cashin, in the microgravity program here. This is going to be tough because we're just going to have to lean on both of you to get through this segment. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about what you all do at Boise State University. Again, people are very excited about athletics, but there's a lot going on as far as academics here that a lot of people at 580 KIDO don't know about.
Sure. Yeah. The microgravity team is a really great way for us to get a good connection with NASA and to really do some cool undergraduate research.
Indeed, and you're getting real-life research as far as working with the NASA folks.
Yep.
It's kind of tough, I guess, for a lot of us here, you know, in the Treasure Valley to we're so far removed from the space program, but here at Boise State, we're not.
Oh, no, no. A really tremendous space program. Since my first semester at Boise State, I've been involved with working on NASA projects and working with former astronaut Barbara Morgan as well.
Come on in, John. Jump in.
Well, it's great to get to be able to do these programs. What's really probably best about it is that we get to have multiple engineering disciplines come together to work together to solve these problems. I'm part of the fabrication team of our design, and I get to I'm a materials science major, and I get to work with mechanical engineering majors to help fabricate this thing, to find the materials that we need on the internet and purchase them and then fabricate it from those designs.
So it's just real life work going on here.
Exactly.
Right. Well, how you know, can you give us, I guess, a report card on how we're doing as far as NASA and the space agency, if you will? Because, you know, we've had some cuts, but we're still, the International Space Station still going strong. They're talking about the Mars program. Any of you, either of you two, want to go into space at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah, soon. Yeah, that
would
be really cool.
Huh.
Well, that's not my goal, but be nice to help someone get there.
Right. And what does it take, though? I mean, you guys are getting real-life experience. What's it like working with these rocket scientists, if you will?
Sure.
Well, it's great to work with these guys. We're not just working with NASA scientists. We're also working with many of the faculty here in Boise State. They've all been very helpful. In particular, we have an MD, PhD that we're working with right now who specializes in ergonomics. That he's been a real help to us. So it's not just the rocket scientists, but it's also the medical doctors, it's the physicists, it's the engineers we have on hand that have just been so helpful with us.
Right.
Yeah, it's been tremendous to be able to have all these people with their expertise come and lend us a hand. And we're just students, and they're willing to take time out of their schedule to really help us have a better understanding of what we're doing and what we need to do to have a successful project.
Now, you all seem so young, which you are, but so focused. Where does that come from?
Well, I'm a non-traditional student. I was in the Marines from 2009 to 2013, and I think that I got some of my drive from that. And, what about you?
Well, I decided I wanted to be an astronaut when I was 12, and it's just something that kind of stuck with me. So being able to come here and realize, you know, my goals and dreams, you know, getting one step closer to NASA, becoming an engineering student, that's really helped me say, you know, I've gotten this far, let's keep going.
Sure, and the Boise State has this program that would allow you to do that.
Yeah.
Because when you think of an astronaut program, a physicist program, Boise State doesn't come to mind, at least in the general public, but you all are making sure that people know about that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we're trying to keep on with Boise State being a rising star that it is.
So. Right, not only athletically, but academically.
That's right.
You know, do you all have a chance to work with people in other colleges and such throughout the country?
one of the former projects, not microgravity, but the former project called Space Broncos. That was a really cool opportunity where we had a downlink with the International Space Station.
Space Broncos.
Yeah. Well,
that sounds like one of those Japanese cartoons.
Oh,
things.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that was an interdisciplinary project where we worked with students from different colleges in Boise State, but then we also paired up with other universities across the nation, and they kind of helped us, you know, put it on. So.
And with the project as it stands right now, the microgravity project, we're working with, I think it's 13 different teams from across the United States.
Oh, yeah, there is 18 different universities accepted into microgravity this year.
Is that a fairly young program?
So this is our 7th year, I believe, of microgravity university. It's the pilot year for the program we're in right now. We're in the MicroG Next program. But the microgravity university program as a whole has been running for several years now.
Yeah, it's a little bit different this year because the other years prior to this one have been with, if you remember, the Vomit Comet, where students would design things to be used in a microgravity environment on the Vomit Comet, and then they'd go up flying with it. This time, we're actually going to be designing something to be used by NASA astronauts in their training tank. So it's a multi-million dollar pool, basically. It's got scale models of the rover, things of that sort that the astronauts can train on, and so what we designed in particular is a surface sample grabber to be used on a potential asteroid mission. So we're going to be picking up rocks off of a simulated asteroid surface. And it's an exciting task.
It is, but I mean, it's just so far above what the, you know, most of us, it's science fiction what we're doing. And, you know, when we're thinking about this, and this is going on right here at Boise State, now will you all, and have you all traveled to, what is it, to Huntsville or to Florida or to Texas at all?
So the plan is, our proposal was accepted. We had to write a 50-page proposal to NASA, and it was accepted, and we'll be going down to Houston at NASA Johnson Space Center June 1st through 5th.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do you say to parents that hear both of you, young, not so young, but still young compared to the rest of us, that are so focused on academics and understand how important it is to succeed in life? What would you say to them to maybe encourage their kids to be involved in the math and the sciences?
Well, I guess the most important thing to point out is that it's not all just test after test after test in the dry classroom environment. If you just stick it out for a little bit, you can come and do things like this where you're designing tools to be used by astronauts in a training tank or on the Vomit Comet or potentially in future missions. And the stuff seems intimidating, but you just understand the basic principles and build off of that, and you can really succeed.
Yeah, I think it's important that we think not just what we're doing here at school, but what do we do afterwards? You know, what skills are we gaining? You know, proposal writing, building this tool, working with NASA. And then that helps, you know, give you some of that feel to get through those hard classes. So,
well, what inspired both of you at a young age? What or who?
Well, like I said, I wanted to become an astronaut when I was 12, and I think it really came when I was homeschooled. So my mom brought home some videos of Sally Ride and Mae Jemison, some of the other female astronauts. And, you know, it was part of our lesson plan, and we had to study these people. And it was a really incredible experience for me. It just, like, I want to be an astronaut. And that was a very defining moment. And from then on, I started planning, how do I become an astronaut? Mm-hmm. And then it went on to, okay, what will my engineering major be? And where do I want to go after I become an astronaut?
Well, while I was in the Marines, I was in Afghanistan, and it was there that I got interested in the medical field. And after I was working on that for a bit, I was trying to figure out which part of the medical field I wanted to enter into. And I shadowed internal medicine physicians in California and realized that's probably not the best way for me to go. I'm more interested in clinical research, I found, once I was shadowing them. So coming back to Boise State, I was an engineer in the Marines, so I figured engineering was a nice degree for me, but I also wanted to do pre-med, so I'm double majoring in material science and engineering and pre-medical studies. I'm doing material science because I want to eventually do clinical research in nano and microrobotics or nanotechnology and medicine.
Wow, and this is going on right here at Boise State. What was it like for you to be homeschooled? We hear that all the time. In fact, we're going to have some homeschooled folks coming up during our spring break here at 580KIDO. This is our 6th season doing Promoting Our School, Securing Our Future, and this will be the first time we have homeschool folks in there. Tell us about your background being homeschooled.
Sure. I think it was a really awesome experience for me. to be homeschooled with my mom, not just because, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with family, but also as far as learning goes, it was really on my own pace, and it really helped me get my foundation. Sometimes I wonder if I would have become an engineering student if I was in public school, just because I had struggles with science and mathematics during my first round of schooling. But my mom was like, okay, we're just going to sit down and we're going to go over this as many times as you need. So I think homeschooling for me gave me the courage, the enthusiasm, the making sure I'm paying attention to my education, I'm working at it, I'm the one producing it, that really produced that drive right there. And I got trained in that very young. And then when I came to college, it just helped me take even greater leaps towards securing my education and getting it better and doing better every day.
Mm-hmm. You had a big honor recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
You get that all the time, I bet.
Well, it just comes around sometimes.
But that's okay. You had a chance to introduce the President of the United States.
Yeah, it was a really incredible experience.
What was that like?
It was great. When I first started college, I had a really hard time speaking in public, something that I was not used to.
I still have a problem with it, you know. don't worry about it.
Yeah, and so it was a really great honor to be chosen to introduce the president and then to get up there and be able to, you know, introduce him to the whole Treasure Valley and
sure.
to be able to say, hey, you know, guys, this is a great, great honor, and make sure that you're seeking out those other opportunities as well to, you know, speaking to the students, and then to shake his hand, shake President Obama's hand, and have him say, we're proud of you, Camille, and
right.
good job. It was a really incredible opportunity.
Right. You're going to have to go in space to top that.
Oh, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that says a lot about the area and a lot about you and the president, that here you have this moment where, you know, in our program we talk about a lot of issues, and here you have this moment of clarity and unity in Boise, Idaho.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was. Did you think that you were dreaming?
No, but I was pretty thrilled.
Right.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we won't keep you. You guys have, what, 17 classes today or something like that?
Yeah, just about.
Just three.
Just three. All right. Well, we appreciate both of you coming in. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your great story of
you.
Inspiration. Thank you for your inspiration and what you're doing. And have some free time. It's okay.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. It is 7:17. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, thanks to Chick-fil-A, thanks to CapEd. We are here at Boise State University. Boy, what a great interview that was with Camille Eddy and John Cashin. If you missed that, talking about the microgravity program, describing not only the program at BSU when we're talking about NASA and real-life experience, but nationally when we're talking about that. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll take your calls coming up. As we move around here at 580 KIDO, do want to remind you we'll be here all day until 9 as we go. We'll hear from Evan Brown coming up. Let's go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. A bit ago, you referred to our negotiations we're having with Iran, the nuclear negotiations. Help me if you can here. Back during the large Second Amendment frenzy we had here about a year and a half ago, treaty that we signed with a foreign nation, does that not supersede our own Constitution? And in this case, if that be true, I have grave concerns about anything that Obama does with a foreign nation in reference to a treaty, you know, over top of our Constitution. You probably have to have somebody like Tom or someone answer that, but if I remember that... That kind of strips some of our Constitution power away.
Well, the scary thing we talked about, right, we were discussing is that if there is an agreement between our administration and the mullahs in Iran, that the president wants to get approval from the United Nations before Congress, remember,
right.
In the Constitution, all treaties have to be approved by the Senate unless you're going to go the route of executive action. And then the Senate said to themselves, hey, you know, that's an executive action that can be rescinded. I hope that answers your question, Terry.
Well, and I hope, in fact, that does hold true. You know, if our Congress sees a treaty that is of no benefit to the United States, you know, and of all benefit to Iran, which seems to be a lot of our concerns,
sure,
that the Senate, in fact, is and will act on, you know, such a thing.
Well, and I think they have. Terry, thank you for the call. Quickly to Eben Brown, Fox News Radio, with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Eben, good morning.
Good morning.
I tried to watch the Jinx. And lo and behold, the Jinx gets himself arrested. This Robert Durst thing, is this the craziest thing? And you've reported about a lot of things that you've had to cover in quite some time.
It's definitely strange or curious, but you know, one of the things that happened with the filming of this docuseries on HBO was that his the old hot mic syndrome. You know, he went to the restroom with the mic still on and still hot, and he was talking to himself and said, "Yeah, I killed him." And that's something that the investigators and the prosecutors are probably going to try to use against him. You know, this is someone who's essentially been skirting the law for the better part of 30 years.
Incredible when you think about this and this whole docudrama on HBO where the producers are speaking with this gentleman. He's going over, you know, all the issues involving the three murders that he's been allegedly involved in. And lo and behold, in New Orleans on Saturday, he gets arrested.
Right, and you know that's what's so interesting about it is it's for the arrest is for the murder of a woman who went missing who was a friend of his by the name of Susan Berman, and that she they could never really link him to that even though they had really believed it he was responsible for her disappearance and death. So now they think they have enough to go on that, and they're gonna try to arrest him. Warrant, by the way, is out from Los Angeles. So even though he was arrested in New Orleans, he'll be sent back to Los Angeles for trial.
Eben, I tried to watch it, but my attention span is like Law and Order Special Victims Unit. This was a thorough effort, was it not, sir?
It was. It was a six-part docuseries about his life and about the strange legal proceedings that he's been involved in, and with his full involvement, you know, and so you know, it was. I haven't seen it fully myself. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but it was rather very much involved, and it went through a lot of discussion about his many legal troubles, especially with regard to killing people. You know, he successfully argued self-defense in front of a Texas jury back in 2001 when he was arrested for not just the killing but the dismembering of an elderly neighbor. Somehow the jury let him walk on the idea of it was self-defense.
And not only did they let him walk, but he had fled the jurisdiction. And because,
yeah,
Eben, you have a life and I don't, he had dressed up as a woman living next door to the guy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's just strangely bizarre.
Yeah, and why in the world, finally, and they had interviews with his brother and all family members, why in the world would someone agree to talk to a producer of a movie?
Well, that's a great question. You know, and we can only begin to guess as to what was going through his mind when he decided that this would be an okay thing for him to do. It could just simply be hubris. You know, you've gotten away with it for so long, you begin to think you're invincible. I don't know if that's really how he feels, but, you know, that's just the textbook explanation. You know, you become too comfortable and eventually you let something slip. In this case, he made that off mic or you know, the hot mic comment, and that might have been something that's going to do him in.
Eben Brown, we appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You got it. No problem.
Eben Brown joining us from Fox News Radio exclusively at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we are still at Boise State. We're going to talk to some folks here in the sculpture program. If you miss any of our broadcasts, and I do mean any of our broadcasts, you can go to 580KIDO.com for the podcast. We've got some great opinion pieces going up on that website right now. Inside Idaho's Gun Battle, which will happen today in the State House. HB 243 versus HB 89. In addition to that, should BSU retire Kellen Moore's jersey. You're listening to Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
New 580KIDO is sending Kevin Miller back to school.
No, no. William and Mary won't do that. promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Boise State University on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And here we are in the Student Union Building. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Congratulations to the men's basketball team, the women's basketball team. And really, it's fascinating being here at Boise State, and I want to thank CapEd. We've got some great T-shirts here for all our participants, courtesy of CapEd. Want to thank our friends, the locally owned and operated Chick-fil-A stores, Joe and Brad. Hearing about some of the programs here at Boise State, I want to, you know, Camille Eddy and John Cashin and Dr. Learned talking about the entrepreneurial program. And right now, let's talk to Ben Victor about the sculpture program here. Ben, good to have you with us. You're on 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Good to have you with us, if you will. Talk a little bit about the sculpture program here.
The sculpture program's fantastic. They recruited me all the way from South Dakota to come here and show the students what it's like to be a professional in the field, and I'm having a great time so far.
Let's talk about that, because we hear so much when we're young to follow our dreams, whether it's art, whether it's sculpting, whether it's something else, and then it's dashed by, well, no, you better conform and be like everybody else. You're living your dream. You're teaching other folks to follow their dreams. Share that with us.
Yeah, I've had a great time, and it's amazing. And there's so many careers in art and in sculpture, and a lot of people don't realize that. And so that's what I'm here to help them understand.
Right. When we talk about the diversity as far as the job field, there are jobs in sculpting and such?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I get work all over the country, and there's a wide variety from advertising all the way to monumental sculpture like I do.
What goes into building these monuments, if you will? You know, most of us, we look at Mount Rushmore or Crazy Horse or something huge, or the Dr. King statue there in D.C., something very significant.
Yes, yeah, there's many, many steps. Right now I'm working on a marble piece, which is carved in from a giant piece of stone, and then there's also the processes of bronze, which I normally use, which starts with a clay armature and works all the way from molds to casting, and it's really an exciting process, multi-steps.
Now, what about your students? What are they like?
Well, right now we've had at least three or four come in and learn in depth, and so we always have some that are a little bit more interested and involved on a higher level. But then the average student here, I think, is just waiting to kind of get their feet wet and see what they like. And so they try the different types of art, and it's really good for them to be as diversified as possible.
Is that a specialty program that a lot of colleges may or may not offer as far as sculpting? So the more prestigious, the more work people get, the more Boise State's program gets on the map.
Definitely, yeah. We have a great casting program here. We're one of the few colleges in the whole nation that has a full casting foundry, so students can learn start to finish the casting process. But then also, I think a lot of their questions for me revolve around the profession of art as well, like how do you make a living and what are the things you need to ask to galleries and stuff like that. So it's
pretty fun. How do you make a living at art?
Well, it's, you know,
because a lot of parents listening right now,
yeah,
have young children in high school that are going, my kid is incredibly gifted, but I want to make sure that they have a good life.
Yeah, and it was so funny when I went into art school. You know, a lot of the kids had parents who discouraged them from going into art. But I remember specifically my dad telling me, hey, go do what you love, and even if you never make a dime at it, you'll be a success. And so that's the attitude I took into it. I wasn't really totally driven by the money side, but I followed that passion, and it causes you to work extra and work harder, and in the end it's just worked out wonderfully. You know, a great career, and there are many paths in many ways, and every single field needs that creative aspect to it, and so it's there's a lot of openings in the art world, you know, to make a living at.
If people are interested in that, they can go to the Boise State website and learn about your program. Any books or programs that were instrumental in inspiring you as a youngster?
Many, many books. You know, not just the travel around the country, going to art towns like Loveland, Colorado and things, but also picking up books by older artists like Edward Lanteri, who I read all the time still to this day, and I hand those on to the students here as well.
What's it like working here? Because this is a fairly still young institution compared to a lot of colleges and universities across the country. You know, we always talk about athletics and stuff, but, you know, interviewing you and others, you know, the academics, the arts program is on the rise as well.
It's incredible. You know, I came here and I saw a school on the grow. Like, not only is it a good size school, but it's growing, you know, and everybody's got that growth mentality. Like, if you have a great idea, they're willing to run with it. And so that's really what this professor of practice program is about and what the art program is all about. And with the new art building that's going to be built in this coming year, I mean, we're going to have a huge facility, world class. And so we're really going to be able to offer the students a ton and the community as well.
That's got to be a challenging responsibility for you to help mold a program in its infancy, really.
Yeah, it really is, but that's what I wanted to be a part of. You know, you go to an institution like this, and it's something where you can be proud of it, you know. So like 10, 20 years from now, if I'm a part of this program as it's in its growth stages, hopefully we can all look back and see all the great things that have come from it.
So this new building is going to be spectacular.
It really is. It's a modern design, and it's going to look great. And it's also, it's not just the placement there on Capitol, but it's the much-needed extra facilities that the students will really benefit from.
When we talk about putting this university on the map, you know, we're kind of a landlocked island, if you will. When you talk to some of your colleagues in other states, you know, hey, man, I'm in Boise. What's their reaction?
Oh, the blue turf, you know, immediately.
Right.
And so, but I think that's part of it, you know, with the arts and with the academics, is really embracing that and piggybacking on that, you know, because we had that football program. We have
right.
That going strong, and it's something that we came nationally from nowhere and made
right.
It into this powerhouse. And that's the same thing we want to do with the arts and all the other programs here at Boise State.
Yeah, it's a very different vibe here when you're thinking of this college that continues to grow and continue to diversify, whether it's art, whether it's microgravity, whether it's some of the other programs, whether it's the Entrepreneur College or vaccine research or something like that. It's a different vibe than you get, let's say, that if you were at an East Coast place or one of these institutions that have been around for quite some time. And it allows you, as you've told us here at 580KIDO, more freedom.
Yeah, and, you know, we're hungry. That's the thing. Like, you look at every program, we're hungry for growth, we're hungry to get better, and we're always looking for ways to do that. And so that's what keeps it fun.
What about the students? Are they fun?
They are fun.
Really?
Yeah, we have a really a diverse group of students, and it seems like Boise's just kind of an arts town. Like, I'll go downtown and eat lunch, and I'll run into students that are, you know, just graduated high school, and they're going to start in the arts, and they'll just start talking about the things they want to do, the things they want to create. So it's a very creative place to be, and it's always fun to be around that energy.
Well, and again, back to the people that you talk to that have never been here and have this perception of Idaho. It's very different when you're here, and, you know, again, a lot of people probably aren't aware of the thriving art community that we have not only here at Boise State, but throughout the downtown Boise and other places as well.
Definitely. Arts, music, really fosters a lot of creativity.
Well, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we appreciate it, and good luck, and have fun with the sculpting.
You got it.
All right. It is 7:46, Kevin Miller in the morning. 580KIDO from Boise State. Thanks to Chick-fil-A. Thanks to CapEd. Without their support, we couldn't do programs like this. Remember, promoting our schools, securing our future. And this year, we're focusing in on college prep and development outside of primary high school and everything else. I do want to remind you, coming up on the week of spring break, we're going to have some homeschoolers in, and we'll be touring more high schools around the area as well. I want to thank all the administrators who have trusted us to kind of take over their room for a day. It's a privilege. We're a guest, and we appreciate those folks, particularly in Meridian, and that have decided to be there with us. 7:47, Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you to work safe.
Load our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller at Boise State University on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
That crap back in 19. 19-
Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO, live at Boise State. Coming up, we'll talk to more folks here. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And as we take a look at that, some of the other issues at hand, we have Robert Durst admitting to the murders that he committed apparently several years ago. This was an HBO series, and the big question is, did HBO solve a 14-year-old murder case? If you're on your way to the State House, you've got HB 243 that will be debated today, involving whether or not elected officials should be exempt from concealed carry requirements. In addition to that, if you want to conceal and carry, you can do so outside the city limits. This is the same bill that passed 62-7 in the Senate last year, but had trouble in the House. It has the support of House and Senate leadership, although it doesn't have the support of a lot of folks from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You have the National Rifle Association that has backed this bill as well. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO, if you'd like to sound off on that. Other news of the day, you have an arrest in the Ferguson police shootings. A man that said apparently he was being robbed by another fellow protester, and he accidentally shot the police officers. Makes you wonder. Further controversy involving the deal with Iran. You have the State Department. You have the administration fighting back. And, oh, by the way, Vladimir Putin has resurfaced. Vladimir Putin has resurfaced here. And we'll have that for you coming up throughout the morning. That having been said, I think the most important issue that we can talk about locally is this issue. And I had a young man yesterday Facebook me. And, you know, sometimes it's never, hey, Kay Millie, how you doing? Hey, Kevin, let's make sure that you do the right thing. Let's, you know, how are you doing on Sunday afternoon? It's never about that. He emailed me and said, hey, Miller, are you going to be talking about this? You better be talking about this bill. And regardless of what you think about firearms and such, I think it's incumbent, as we've seen with the demonstrations involving Add the Words, that people get their time before their committees. They get a hearing. If you have thousands of people that adamantly and accurately believe that they should have a hearing on a bill, I think it's the responsibility of the representatives in the House, in the Senate, to allow them to have a hearing. Now, we've heard from Greg Pruitt and others that the House leadership, the Senate leadership, has said the language is flawed, that this is flawed, and that's why they're not going to have any type of hearing on HB 89. I think, again, if you're standing out in the cold, if you're doing these crazy things, if you organize rallies, and whether it was Tony Sinesco, whether it was Greg Pruitt, whether it was Kevin Miller, who we all kind of formed that partnership where we would have town hall meetings about your right to protect yourself, I think the representatives should give them the time of day. Why? Because, you know, how many people actually vote? What's the big challenge that we have day in and day out? It's young people that don't vote. It's young people that feel disillusioned with the process. How many times do the people say, well, only 49% of the folks that are eligible actually voted? We need more people voting. Well, if the people that we elect to represent us don't listen to us, and I understand, well, that's why we have elections. Elections are every 2 years in the state Senate and the state House. Every 4 years, if you're talking about other big offices like the governorship, and if these folks don't listen to you, then, you know, the chances are that you're going to forget, right? So my thought to you at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, and those hearings are going to be starting any minute now, why not have a hearing? Why not just let the people be heard? What's wrong with that? Time for traffic now at 580-KIDO as we continue on from Boise State, promoting our schools, securing our future. Coming up, we'll find out about the Vista Neighborhood Project. We'll take a look at economic development not only here at Boise State, but throughout the Treasure Valley. And as I've said, you know, I was somewhere yesterday. I can't remember where I was. And, you know, endlessly trying to come up with a blog post that would make a difference in life and reality. And, you know, it's really all about economic development. And it would be nice if, you know, our elected officials and our, how should we put this, our business leaders would get together. Now, they are apparently doing that for Gowan Field, and we do support keeping Gowan Field vibrant, strong, and dynamic, but there needs to be more, kind of like a Marshall Plan, if you will, for the Treasure Valley, where people can get good jobs, keep good jobs, and raise families, right? Because nobody wants to be the latest suburb of California. That's my thought. That's coming to a blog post near you. For more blog posts and podcasts and the adventures of young Jacob, go to 580kido.com. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580kido.